The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
How to choose or choosing to have a holy day. Not just a holiday, but a holy day. And I'm going to use as a text this morning from the book of Isaiah, and I'll be using several scriptures, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the New Living Translation. For a child is born to us. A child is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and praise you and worship you. Thank you, Lord, that we can commemorate and remember the birth of our Lord Jesus. For it was a very special day when the angels came and announced what Isaiah the prophet had prophesied so very long ago. Father, I pray that as we study this morning and go through your word, that you will reveal to us, Lord, how we can make this Christmas a very special holy day, a day separate from the world, this day, this Christmas. And we pray together in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I think that maybe never as before in my life, here in America, we need a Christmas. We need to remember Christmas this year. We need to replace the Christmas lights with the Star of Bethlehem. Need to be thinking and focusing in on what the day really, really means. God promised us through Isaiah several things, that this child king would be born. He would enter the world. It said that the child king would be a time of rejoicing. Let me ask you a question. Are you rejoicing this Christmas? Is there rejoicing in your heart? Or is it just the busyness of another time of the year that you wish you would hurry up and get over? So many people I talk to tell me that. I just can't wait for Christmas to get over with so I can go back to my life. He said that the child would bring peace to the world. Do you see peace? Do you have peace in your own heart and in your own life? Are you at rest with the Lord? You have that which only the Christ child can give. He said that the child would rule forever. Do you see Christ rule? Is he ruling in your life? Is he ruling in our world? Do you see Christ, and especially at the Christmas season? Or is that little song where, we hear the cash registers ringing instead of the voice of God? He said that the child would be God incarnate, God in the flesh. Are you seeing that at Christmas? Or is it just, my computer just took off on its own here. Wow, come back, little Sheba. There it is. Or is it just another time of busyness? Or do you see God? I've discovered this about God. The way you find him is you got to be looking for him. Amen. It's not that he's hiding. It's just that we're hiding. Remember when you go all the way back to the garden when God was showing up? Where were Adam and Eve? They were hiding out. You know, they were worried about stuff instead of being in fellowship with him. They had thrown it all away. Well, you know, the story in the garden could have been a lot different than it was if maybe they had just sought him out, if they'd have just run to him. But they didn't, because they got busy with life right away. What am I going to wear? Where am I going to go? What am I going to say? How are we going to get along? The busyness of life. And that is repeated over and over and over through the centuries down to our own lives. We're so busy thinking about ourselves and the season that we forget who God is and what God is doing in our lives. And I want us to focus. It's like a beam of light. I want to refocus it so that it points in the right direction, helps us get in the right direction. We don't need another hectic holiday. What we need is a great holy day. July 4th is a holiday. Memorial Day is a holiday. Labor Day are holidays. Christmas is not a holiday. It's a holy day. And I guess maybe in one way, and I hadn't thought this out to its nth degree, but I think in many ways our government has done us a disservice by making Christmas a holiday instead of leaving it to be a holy day. You know, one thing I know about God's children is that we're pretty good about keeping traditions going. You know, we can do it, and we really don't need any help from Uncle Sam. You know, we're really good. And one thing I've noticed that for the most part, government has left the Easter season alone because they don't know what to do with that. You know, they can make up little jingles about Santa Claus and Rudolph, Justin Wilson used to say, the rouge-nosed reindeer. You know, the rouge-nosed, a little French in there. You know, the world is good about doing that and having sales. And listen, I know that I'm a little weird, and I pick on that, but don't you think it's a little weird that we have in the precursor to the entire Christmas season a day called Black Friday? You know, and I understand the meaning of that. You know, they're talking about most of the stores get in the black because they're in the red most of the year, you know, from a profit. But it begins to shade right away the whole Christmas saving season with finances and buying and hectic people. And if you're here and you've done this, you know, more power to you. But people get up in the middle of the night to go down to the store to buy things. I like what Jim said last night about a guy he used to work for, that when he was a Jewish fella, and on Sunday he would have the Jewish people come in because they wouldn't shop on Saturday, but on Sunday it was okay, while the rest of the world had what they call blue laws, where you couldn't shop on Sunday, and he'd have Jim change the prices on everything and double the prices on everything in the store, so that when his Jewish friends would come in, he'd say, hey, I'll make you a deal. I'll sell it for you half price. And so they left out thinking they had a great deal. I mean, that was kind of cool, you know, good idea. But, you know, the world has kind of done that to us. You know, they tell us. And by the way, if you think that doesn't still happen, it does. Yeah, I have someone in my family who used to own a jewelry store. And they used to, when they were going to have a sale, they'd go in and reprice everything in the store so that when you saw the sale price, you would thought you were getting a really good deal. It might have been a little bit less than the regular retail price, but it wasn't that much less. So it happens all the time. And when you're going out and buying the stuff, wow, this is on sale, the Christmas sale, Black Friday sale. Just remember the words of this little Italian one-armed preacher. They're putting one over on you, all right? They really are. And it's all about profit. Christmas has become the idea of prophets, not the prophets of the Bible, but the prophet of the dollar bill. And we need to be aware of that. So, but we do need a day to remember the Christ child. That's what it's really all about. This child king that was born, some 600 years after Isaiah prophesied that it would come to pass. Now, let me tell you what. You ready for this? You ready? I need to get a drink before I go any further. It's just water, but I need it anyway. You are not going to make the government recognize Christmas as a holy day. Forget it. It's not happening. You are not going to make the retail establishments change their ways to make Christmas from a holiday into a holy day. It will not happen. The only reason it used to be that way is because the church people made it that way, not the government nor the retail establishments. They have a different motivation in mind. But you can make your life a holy day during the Christmas season. Nobody in the planet, well, I shouldn't say the planet, at least nobody so far in America can stop you from worshiping God the way you want to. You can put every manger scene you want. God is love. You can put crosses on your front yard, and they can't do a thing about it. You can have all the spiritual songs playing in your house you want. You can greet every one of your neighbors with a merry and blessed Christmas, and they can't do a thing to stop you. So the truth is, you're the one who's in control of your Christmas, not someone else. Okay, got that? All right, I'm going to talk to you about three choices that you can make that can change your holiday season into holy days. Y'all ready for this? You may not be after you hear what I have to say. You might have to change your plans, all right? Let's go. The first thing is you choose. I get this thing going here. You choose. By the way, these are personal pictures that I got for our slides. That's my son-in-law and my granddaughter. I thought I'd bring them to church with me today since they're in Florida. And you can choose to emphasize seeking God. You can choose to do that, all right? Now, look at the scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, that didn't happen. Isaiah said it, and here it happened. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." I think maybe the wisest people, at least some of the wisest people in all the scriptures, are there in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. What they did was they left behind some things to go to a place where some things really were happening. They didn't wait for FEMA. They didn't wait for an executive order. They didn't wait for funding for the government. They didn't wait for a grant. They read about and heard about this child that Isaiah spoke about, and they came all the way from the east to be and to see where this child would be born. In fact, I am working on right now getting a movie for us that was done by an attorney who researched the appearance scientifically of the Star of Bethlehem. And I'm working on getting that for us right now. I can buy it, but I'm trying to get a license from them that I can show it in a public venue. And it's really, really good, okay? You will really, really like it. So, but these guys didn't wait for all that to happen. They just went to see this Christ child. Now, they asked one of the most poignant questions in the whole Bible when they asked the question, "Where is the one? Where is the one?" And every man and every woman born on this planet needs to ask that question, "Where is the one?" There was an Old Testament guy that you all know very well, Elijah. And Elijah was disgusted with the system that he was living under. I mean, he really was, he wasn't happy. He had been serving God. He had seen miracles take place at his hands. And, you know, he just expected some different results. Well, when a lady by the name of Jezebel got on his trail, and she decided to do him in, he went running off. And he had this conversation with God, and he said that he wanted to die because things weren't going the way he wanted them. How many of you have said that very thing? Maybe you said, man, I'll be glad to get out of this place and get to heaven. Why? Because you don't like what's going on around here. Yeah. Man, I can't wait, you know, just to get out of here. I wish the rapture would come, you know. I'm ready to go home. I've had enough of this place. You're not the first person to think that. That's exactly what Elijah thought. You know, God, just take me home. I'm ready to go. Please be gentle when you take me. Don't let it be a truck running over me or anything like that. You know, just nothing that would hurt me. I just want to go to sleep and wake up seeing you. That's an escapist mentality. But that's what he said. He said, I want to get out of here. And then he went on. He said, Lord, go ahead and let me die because there's nobody else but me anyway. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. You ever start feeling that way sometimes? You know, we're the only ones who want to have a holy Christmas. You know, we're the only ones. And you know, God told him, same thing he'd tell you. Hey, I got a lot more than you think I got. There's a lot of you out here. Not as few as you might think. And then God asked him a very important question. And he said to him, he said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know, what's going on in your mind and your heart? Why are you here, Elijah? Why are you worried about things that you shouldn't be worried about? Are y'all cold? Is that the problem? We have someone in the back. We'll take care of that. Yeah. Let me digress for just a moment. These are the signs for the pastor. That means cold, all right? That means hot. And I understand those signs, all right? Yeah. You know, this, I know it's hot. Like this, and it's cold. You were hot. Everyone else is cold. Yeah, it's called hot flashes. So I know I'm going off the track, but the church I used to belong to, it was a pretty big auditorium. And they had rigged the air conditioners, and on one side they would blow real cold air, and on the other side they'd blow warm air. And so that we would just tell people, if you want to be warm, sit on this side. If you want to be cold, sit on that side. I don't know whether it worked, but people did it all the time. So, but anyway, back to my story. Elijah said, you know, God said to him, what are you doing here? And, you know, we need to ask ourselves that question. What are you doing here? I talked to you about this last week. Are you just taking up space, just waiting, oh, God, let me die and get out of this place? Or are you on a mission from God to do something that can change the way your life is? There will not be an edict like Constantine did that puts out, everybody's going to worship God. It ain't going to happen, all right? The only God this country is interested in worshiping is the United States dollar bill. That's the world. That's what, you don't believe that. We're so smart, we elect people and send them to Washington, D.C. who have only two things that they want to do. They want to get your money and they want to spend it. They are not interested in you having a holy day. They're only interested in them having a financial day. All right? And if you don't send them enough money, they'll go borrow money, and I shouldn't be preaching that sermon. That's not part of today's sermon, but I think you get the picture. Now, let me tell you what. This Christmas will be like every other Christmas you've experienced unless you choose to look for a better one. Unless you make that decision in your mind and to begin to emphasize looking for God. That's what these guys did, these magi did. They came looking for this one. And just take an inventory of your life today in your coming Christmas season and ask yourself the question, am I looking for God? Am I seeking to have a really special day? Do I want it to be a holy day? Or I just want to join the crowd and have another Christmas holiday? How it turns out is going to be in great part dependent upon what you do with it and what you're seeking for. You won't find God at Macy's or at Walmart. You won't find him on eBay or all the internet shops. You won't find him under the Christmas tree. But you will find him if you search for him, where you're willing to leave the status quo behind and to move in another direction. Now, some of you are just going off to sleep and saying, oh, come on, preacher. You know, let's talk about grace. Let's talk about some of the exciting things. You know, but don't be picking on my holiday. You know, I've got it all planned. I'm going to make oyster dressing. You know, I'm going to get me a turkey. I'm going to fry a turkey. I'm going to roast a turkey. I'm going to shop till I drop to get all the presents I can for all the people I love. And I'm going to put them under the tree. And I can't wait for that moment in time when we open up the presents and there's wrappings and paper all around. And everybody's going to be happy for at least 5 minutes. That's about what the happiness quotient is of the Christmas tree unwrapping of the presents. Depending on how your family is, if your family's real big, you might have 15 minutes, and if it's real small, it might be 2 or 3 minutes. But that's not what we're celebrating as believers. We're celebrating Christ. And we need to be focusing on that. And I'm going to show you some ways this morning how you can turn this thing around. For your life, not for anybody else. Don't worry about anybody else. I'm just talking about you. This will be the opportunity for you to have a Christmas free from overspending, over partying, and over holidaying. I can feel the peace right here. You know? Just thinking about that things could be different. All right. So, the second thing I want to talk to you about is you can choose. I left it up there a little longer so you could see Izzy. You can choose to abandon the earthly for the eternal. You can choose to abandon the earthly for the eternal. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. There we go. There it is. Let me set the stage for you for this. There are some ordinary folk, just ordinary folk doing what ordinary folk do, just living, getting by, minding their own business. It's another quiet night in Israel. Angels show up. I mean, I saw one angel at the hospital. It blew my mind. Can you imagine a whole company of angels showing up? And they sing and say to him, you know, peace on earth, you know, goodwill unto you. This day is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And you will find a babe lying in a manger. And it says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Everyone else at Christmas, everyone else will be spending time on things that won't last. They won't have any great value. The shepherds were doing what they always did at this time of the year. They were out with the sheep, tending the sheep. Another day of sheep, you know. And that's our lives for the most part. Just another day in paradise, you know, just kind of getting by. People used to ask me all the time when I had my business, you know, you greet someone, and it's in the business communities, people say this all the time, said, are you keeping busy? And I used to say, that's not the question. I can always keep busy. The question is, am I making any money? The motivation of the business was not to keep business busy, but to make money. And the motivation of a Christian life is not to keep busy, but to find God and to see God and to experience God. Christianity without God is another social club. And if you're a born-again Christian and you're not experiencing God in your life, you need to do something about it. You need to see if your life changed. You need to change your way you're doing things. You know, the old joke about insanity. It's insane to keep believing that you're going to get a different result by doing the same thing over and over again. I mean, it won't work. You got to do something different. You got to think different. And if you want to have a glorious Christmas that you will remember and your family will remember for years to come, you can make the difference by abandoning the earthly things and going towards the spiritual things. They had a choice to make. Come here, Tommy. I want you to hobble up here with me. I know I'd make you hobble. I want you to meet Tommy. Now, he looks like just a good old boy from Slidell, but actually, he's a shepherd. And he and I are shepherds together. We've been watching these stinking sheep a lot of years, haven't we?
Yep.
Man, they smelly. Some of them, I tell you what, I'm ready to eat them. Have some mutton, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been hard. And, you know, I don't know, Tommy, about these angels, you know. And I don't, you know how far it is to Bethlehem? And you know that corn I've been having on the bottom of my foot, you know, from where that one sheep bit me, you know, and it's just been, you know, festering. I've just been having problems. You sure you want to go to Bethlehem? You think it'll be worth it?
Yeah.
You think it'll be worth it? Mm-hmm. But we know we're comfortable here, Tommy. Yeah, I know how to take care of sheep. I don't know what's down there. I don't go to the city much. It's like going to New Orleans. You know, I don't like to go.
We better go.
We think we ought to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. All right, sit down. Thank you, my fellow shepherd. That conversation happened. I guarantee you that conversation happened in one way, shape, or form or another. But what they decided to do is to leave the status quo and to go where something was happening. And they left and they went to this place called Bethlehem, the city. It was just a small town. And they left the rural area where they were. And they went there to see if it was true what the angels had said. Well, what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to believe and to go in your life and see if what this Saint Angelo is saying is true, that God can be found and you can have a better Christmas season by letting go some of the earthly stuff to begin to focus on some of the eternal stuff. It will cost you to have a holy Christmas. It's going to cost you to do it, all right? And what's going to cost you? What about my stuff? I always bring the sheep out on the side of the hill at this time of the year. I always do that. I always go to Walmart. I always go to Macy's. I always go to wherever it is that you shop. And I always buy all these presents, and I always wrap them, and it's always a big deal, and I always put them under the Christmas tree, and it always looks good, and I always take pictures so I can remember, but I never look at the pictures again, but that's beside the point, you know, but I always do that. You ready for this? It's the holiday tradition. Could it be that you could have a holy Christmas without a Christmas tree? Ah, now we're getting to meddling, all right? I don't know. You know, I thought I was on your side, preacher, but now I don't know. I couldn't have Christmas without a Christmas tree. Could I have Christmas without those lights all over my house that makes it look like some kind of, I don't know what, from Mars? You know, could I really have a Christmas without all those lights? Wow. Could I have Christmas without, wearing my famous red shirt, you know, or my blouse with all the red and green on it? Could I really have a Christmas without those things? Beloved, if that's your Christmas, have a happy holiday, because that's all you're going to have. But if you want to have a holy day, you're going to have to think about that. Now, I've got to say parenthetically, I have no argument with Christmas trees and Christmas lights. But what I'm telling you is those things are robbing you, the born-again believers of God, of enjoying a wonderful time with God by being so busy. doing the things of tradition, well, what would people say? What would they say if I didn't decorate my house? What would Aunt Mabel say if I didn't buy her another worthless gift? What would she say? What would the grandchildren say if I only gave them one present? What would it be like if I didn't wrap them in that beautiful paper and just gave them the bag from wherever I got it? What would people say? We sang a little song, you know, if they don't say Merry Christmas, what would people say? We worry so much about what other people will say about our lives that we live lives of desperation trying to please people who don't give a hoot anyway. Somebody said, and I love this, if you knew how much other people ignored you, you wouldn't worry so much about what they think about you, because they're not thinking about you, because they're doing the same thing you're doing. They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. And if you want to get your thinking in the right direction, stop thinking about yourself and what others are going to think about you and begin to think about God. Amen. And take your focus that away. Right. Listen, this is good. This is good for you to hear. Yes, you need to hear this, because we've been traveling with the world being drug off in the wrong direction. And until this year, actually, I've kind of just written Christmas off as something I have to endure. I'm not a Christmas person because I don't like all the energy that is spent trying to create some kind of atmosphere that doesn't have lasting value. That's why I love Easter, because they leave us alone. The world leaves me alone. They don't try to interfere. Oh, they try, but we just ignore it, because every time we say that, we say, and Jesus is Lord. He is risen. And they say, well, we're not so sure he even lived, you know, much less being risen. And we're not sure if he did. Everybody else who died is still dead. I don't believe that. And it just gives them such consternation. They're like the little cartoon character who spins himself around in a circle so many times. Who is it, Yosemite Sam? You know, just spins himself around and just disappears. Or like the roadrunner that just runs around going beep, 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 beep. You know, they can't. They don't get it when we start talking about Christ-centered things. This is about Christ. We need to get the must out of there and stick with the Christ. I don't even know what that means, the must. I think it's got something to do with I'm not even going to go with it. I think it is. All right. The shepherds hurried to find him. If you want to be in a hurry this Christmas, be in a hurry to find Christ. Do an inventory of yourself. Take a spiritual inventory of yourself. Am I seeking God? Ask yourself that question. And the only person who can answer that is you. I can't answer it. I can't answer for you. I don't know. I might see you dressed in the Christmas garb. I might see you wearing little Christmas things. I mean, even our church looks Christmassy. Thank you for the bros who put their beautiful Christmas tree up for us in the back that we could enjoy it. You know, it's back there. Don't look. It's right there. But are you seeking God? Some of you would say, you know, I tried looking for him, but I just can't find him. I just can't find him. The scriptures talk about that. You knock. And if he doesn't answer, you knock again. If he doesn't answer, you knock again. And you keep knocking until you get a breakthrough. And some of you need a breakthrough. You need a spiritual breakthrough. You've got to get through. I'm talking about the nearness of God, and you're still over here not even knocking much anymore. Things will never be different for me. The Christ that loved you enough, that gave his life, that if you would believe in him, that you would have eternal life, that Christ child who resides within you, that righteousness of God that you have, that Holy Spirit that is within you, yearns for you. It's Jesus, the beautiful picture of Jesus standing over Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, put your name there. Mary, Joe, Mike, Bill, Sam, Sally, whatever. Put your name there. How often I would have gathered you together. I would have brought you like a mother hen brings her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't. He said to Jerusalem, you wouldn't come. I don't believe the Lord would say to many of us, you won't come. I've been waiting for you. You're like Elijah. You're complaining and you're hiding. And you think I'll never. Jezebel's after me. That Jezebel spirit of the world is after me. I will never find you. And I'm here to tell you that he's already found you. And he's trying to wake you up out of the slumber. Amen. Trying to get you out of that. There was a movie I looked at. I don't necessarily recommend it unless you got a weird mind. What was the name of that thing? Inception. Yeah, about they get this sleep thing and people go to sleep and they dream and they live out their dreams. It's kind of really weird. But, you know, they need to be woken up because they begin to believe that the dream is the reality. And I think that's what's happened to us is we're beginning to believe that what we're seeing is the reality. It is not the reality. The reality is Christ Jesus the Lord alive for you, who calls for you, who looks for you, who searches for you. And he's crying out just as he did in the garden that I'm looking for you. He calls you by your name. And he wants to be with you every day of your lives. But if we've got this thing called Christmas. We need to deal with it. We can either live and act like the heathen do, or we can take this day for our own self-well-being and transform it into a day of rejoicing in the presence of God. Amen. But you're going to have to choose to let some of those things go. I promise you this, according to the Word of God, if you will seek him, he will find you. There's a lot of stuff I'm not sure about in the Bible. A lot of stuff that I don't see happening the way I want it to happen. A lot of times I pray for folks and they don't get healed. You know, a lot of times I speak to mountains and they're still there. You know, a lot of times I want things to be different and I just don't have an answer. I don't know why things don't work that way. But there's a couple of things I'm sure of. And one of the things I'm 100% sure of, if you will seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And the reason I know that's true is because he's searching for you right now. And he's calling for you. That's what he's doing. Do you think God cares about Christmas season? Not anymore than he cared about all the feast and everybody else's habit. He said, I'm really sick of all this new moon stuff. I'm sick of all this stuff you guys have been doing. You've been doing it. So you've been sacrificing animals. You've been coming here with the offering. He said, I had enough of that stuff. I don't want any more of that stuff. What I want is you. And that message from God from the Old Testament is still true today in this place. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your attention. He wants you to cry out to him. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you, and I'm a wreck, and I need you in my life. Would you manifest yourself in my life? Do whatever you got to do, Lord. Just do it to help me to find you. There was a book written many years ago called The God Seekers by a guy by the name of Tommy Tenney, I believe his last name is. Yeah. And what is it?
Tommy Tenney.
God Chasers? Okay, thank you. I knew some of you here would know it. If you don't have that book, go try to find a copy of it. It'll do you good. It talks about searching for God. You know, we're searching for all the things in this life, and it's just not working. That's why so many Christians are so miserable. We're looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places instead of seeking him. Paul. Is God real? Is he real to you? 100%. You found something awesome, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
And it's changed your life.
Yes, it has.
He was searching. He was searching for the right thing. He came to the right place to find it. He came to church. Imagine that. Imagine that. That you could go to church and find God. What a bizarre. Would you write that down for me? Because I don't want to forget that, all right?
Okay.
Yeah, go to church and you can find God. I know you got those little computer things and you're writing it in there. Okay. Shepherd, don't forget that, all right? You know, you can go to church and find God. Oh, but you know, we had that party last night at the church, and I'm just so tired. I wore my overhead, and I'm tired. Gee, I can't make it to church today. Oh, my bunions are hurting. You know that one where the sheep got me? You know, it just hurts. I don't want to go to church. I mean, what's going on there? Well, I don't know about every other place, but I can tell you about this place called New Beginnings Church. You want to find God, you'll find him right here. You don't have to come here, but doggone, this place is created to give an atmosphere where you can find God. That's what it's all about. That's why you think I come here. I come here because I want to experience God in you at the same time. And I do. And I love people giving me testimonies and telling me stories about what God's doing in their life. And it is awesome. But you find it in the church. I didn't find it in any business I went into in all the years I had business. If I wanted to find God in business, you know what I had to do? I had to bring him in. And one of the things, I'll tell you a cute little story, you'll like this. And one of the computer systems we had a thing that we could put a message on the screen that nobody knew how to change except me and my business partner. We were the only ones who knew how to do it. And whenever you would turn our computers on, this message would come up. And it was designed to help people, remember to turn this on, remember to do this, a little reminder. So it was kind of a nice little feature in the system. But we never told anybody how to do it. And we used to put scripture on those things. And whenever they would turn their computers on, it would come up as, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice." We did all that kind of stuff. Nobody had the gumption to ask us to take it off. Nobody in all the years of the computer systems I put all around this country, nobody ever said to me, "Morris, would you take that prayer stuff off of there?" They never asked me. In fact, I had a call one day from one of my clients, and she was having trouble with the computer, and she called me up, and I said, "Well, tell me what you did." She said, "Well, I turned the computer on, and it came up, and it said its little prayer, and then it went off." The computer was praying for them. But I brought God into where they were. I'd be in business meeting with people, and we would have lunch together. I'd say, "Let's pray," you know, bringing God to where other people were. They're not bringing it. You're not going to find God in all those other places. You're going to find God in yourself, and you bring him to where other people are. Well, I'm going on about stuff that just, it's just interesting. Well, I'm going to tell you one other story. All right? I know y'all like my stories. Now, they wouldn't ask me to take the prayer off, all right? But I used to put computer systems in hotels and in restaurants, all right? Now, everybody knows who's been in a hotel in recent years is they have movies on the television, right? And you can pay to get those movies. It's one of the biggest money makers that hotels have. Number one money maker is the ballroom. Number two are the movies. Pornography. The number two moneymaker in a hotel. They don't make money off the rooms. It's so expensive to own those buildings. They're not making any money off that. They're making money off of other things when you go to a hotel. Room rate doesn't matter. They have other ways of making money. Well, we would have to hook our computer up to the movie computer so that when you're in room 101 and you click on, Betty and the Bimbos or whatever you're watching, it comes through their computer. We connect our computer to it, and then when you get what they call a folio, some of you call it a bill, it says there on such and such a date at such and such a time, you looked at such and such a movie, and this is what it costs. Well, we'd put the real name of the movie here. If it was Betty and the Bimbos, it said on your bill that this day, that Betty and the Bimbos, or Sally and the Crazies, whatever it was, they would... The managers would always come to see me very quietly, and they'd say, "Morris, is there any way you can get that name off of there?" And I said, "Oh, what name?" "Betty and the Bimbos." I said, "Oh, why? You don't want that on there? I thought you wanted people to know what movies they were looking at." So, well, a lot of these people have to bring these things home and give them to their boss if they're on business, or to their wives, or so. And they don't want people knowing what they're watching. And my response is, well, why don't you get that trash out of here?
Amen.
You know what they all told me? Because we make so much money off of it. Say, could you just put on there movie? And of course, I had to do it because they asked me to do it. But I did that in every hotel I went in. Every one of them, they always asked me to change it. You know? But you see, I brought light into where they were. I brought God into where they were. And they didn't like it when the light would shine in darkness. They would see it. See? Why am I telling you this? I'm trying to tell you that the solution for having a holy Christmas is you. Not somebody else. It's all about you. It's what you're willing to do. It's what price you're willing to pay. You know, I ran the risk of being criticized by doing those kinds of things, but I did them anyway. And I'm still amazed that people never asked me to take the prayer off the computers, but they never did. They never did. Where am I? See, there I am. Let's go on to the next point. Hallelujah. Where's my little thing? I'm going to get it to work in a minute. There we go. So how do you choose to have Holy Christmas? Isn't that a cute baby? Oh, I love that baby.
Amen.
Thank you. Who said that? Amen. God bless you, whoever you are. All right. You choose to arrange worship of God during the hectic holidays. You choose to arrange it. And let's look in Luke chapter 2, verse 20. The shepherds, that's me and Tommy, all right, return. Wow, Tommy, it was worth it, wasn't it? Oh, man, come on, give me five. Come on, give me five, man. Woo! Can you believe that baby? Oh, was that a beautiful baby? Did you see Mary and Joseph? Did you see how happy they were? Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad. I just can't wait to tell everybody I know what we saw. Hey, why don't you go tell your mom and them? I'm going home to see my family and tell them, all right? I'll see you back here later. All right, good. Let's go. That's what they did. They were so excited. You know, the shepherds started glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, what were just as they had been told. I'm telling you about God. And if you search for him, go to Bethlehem. Go there in your heart and your mind. And the things that I'm telling you are true. They are true. But you need to make arrangements to see these things. Once the shepherds found out, they began worshiping God. Okay, let's go. When's the last time you worshiped God? Oh, well, I sang those songs this morning, you know. You know, I sang those songs. You know, Silent Night, Holy Night, Bethlehem, all of Christmas songs, I sang all those songs. Those are songs. They're not worship. They're just songs. They just melody. In fact, they were doing a song earlier that I thought they were going to do. I was a little worried about it. It was an Elvis Presley Christmas. You know, I kind of liked it. It had a little typey beat to it, you know, but I didn't know how you guys were going to like it. You know, but that's just singing. Worship is this. And you don't have to kneel down. You can sit down and you can say, God, I love you. God, I just thank you for the life you've given me. Thank you for my husband, my wife, my children, my grandkids. Thank you, I got a house to live in, Lord. But more than anything else, I just thank you for what you're doing in my life. Lord, I want to know you more. I really do. Would you help me, Lord, just to see you clearer than I've had in the past? You're so good to me, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. That's worship. Just talking to him. Telling what's going on in your life and in your heart in such a way that it's not going through the world's filters. It's just going from your heart to his heart. That's worshiping God. And when you start worshiping God that way, wonderful things begin to happen. I believe the choir of angels will surround you. I believe sometimes you'll hear the voice of God speaking to you. But it'll transform your day in the way you think and what you're doing. Your Christmas will be holy as you arrange it to be. You highlight his presence instead of those presents. Highlight his presence, not the presence under the tree. You highlight the gift of life, not the merriment of a holiday. You celebrate and highlight his coming into the world and not the world's holiday and celebration. You can put the brakes. You can put the brakes on this hectic holiday. You can do it. It's in your control. Just like the brakes in your car. You can stop it right now. Today. This could do it. You could do it. Hit the brakes today. You don't need to shop and spend money you don't have for people that it doesn't matter. You don't need to do it. I encourage you to do this. If you're going to spend money this Christmas, if you don't have the money, don't spend the money. If you got a credit card and it's not paid off, don't add to it. Just don't do it. Because I promise you, the day the presents are opened and 5 minutes later, you're going to be left with the reality of a hectic Christmas. Don't do it. And I'm going to show you some things that you can do that are better than presents. You don't need to rush to every party. Just because 20 people invited you to go to 20 parties, you don't need to go. Just pick the ones that you know are going to have the best food and go to that one. Because some places you're not going to get food, all right? You know that, so just don't go to those. If you know they got a good cook there, go to that one. Just pick out the ones that are most meaningful to you. Go. Do you know? Now listen to me. Do you know just because somebody invites you to the party that you don't have to go? It's not written in the Bible. Thou shalt goest to every party that thou art invited to. It doesn't say that. You don't have to go. You can look at mama and papa in the face and say, you know what, baby? That's craziness. I can't go to one more party. I'm going to stay home. What do you think about that? That's a great idea. Let's put on some Christmas music, listen to some Holy Night, put our jammies on, sit down and relax for a change. And if you need to, drink. If it won't hurt you, drink a little vino. Not a bunch, just a little vino, sitting down, relaxing will do you a lot better than getting dressed, rushing off to a party with people you don't know, you don't care about anyway, who don't really don't care about you. You're just another person invited to a party. You don't have to go. Give yourself the privilege of just saying no. You can write regrets. Write a little no. Say, thank you for inviting your party, but we can't make it this year. And you, now listen, you don't have to give an explanation. It's your life, not somebody else's. Take control of your life. You don't need another Christmas season to dread. To dread. You know how many people I talk to, and I'm a people person. I like to talk to people, and people tell me they hate Christmas. They hate it. Christians hate Christmas. They just can't wait for it to be over with and get out of here to go on with their lives. I can't stand another Christmas. That's people who are out of control. I've decided, for me and my house, we're going to take control this year. We started yesterday. We wanted to put some lights out on the house, and we said, we're going to put a little here and a little there. That's enough. Pat got a, and by the way, it looked very good when I drove home last night. We got a nice Star of David over our little manger in the front yard, and it looks really neat. We're not going to win any prizes from anybody but ourselves, you know. And we did what we could do in a couple hours, and we're very happy with that. And by the way, if you want to get scared, you ought to see me with one arm climbing on a ladder, reaching up. They're doing stuff. That'll scare you. That'll get your prayer life going. So we decided not to do that this year. You can make Christmas simple this year. This is what I want you to do. Well, I'm not saying I want you to do it. I'm just giving you some suggestions. These are not holy suggestions. They're just my suggestions. Okay. Instead of spending all that time running around going to places to buy stuff you can't afford to buy, why not spend some time with your family? Why spend $50 on somebody who's not even going to remember it? If you want to do something nice, take mama out to dinner.
There you go.
Go to a Burger King or whatever. Spend it on yourself. Yeah. Say, well, that's very self-indulgent. And I talked about this earlier. What are they going to say if I don't give them a present? Get a life. Yeah. Because I'm getting mine. You know, me and Mama and the kids are going to enjoy this Christmas. And your grandkids, they don't need 26 presents. Because they can't unwrap them all by themselves anyway. And they forget who gave what. And an hour, a day later, they don't remember anyhow. They get thrown in a toy box with the rest of the junk. But how's about getting something for them that would really, really mean something to them? Just one thing that would mean something to them. You know, Gary got a present from his daughter that meant something to him, that still means something to him. Doesn't have to be expensive. Now here's, y'all ready for this? This is the cream de la cream of presents. Remember I told you it's going to cost you something to have a holy day? This is a wonderful present. Now some of you guys are going to go into cardiac arrest when I say this, but this is good. Hold on, shepherds. I want you to take some time and write a letter to the ones you love. And tell them how much they mean to you. Won't cost you nothing but a piece of paper and some ink and a little time. Those will not get thrown in the toy box. Those won't be forgotten next year. Those will be wrapped up and saved and preserved for the rest of their lives. And when they're gone, when you're gone, your kids and your grandkids will be looking for those letters from Mama and Papa. Look what Papa wrote to Mama back in the year 2012. That's a gift to give. You gals, to write to your husbands. Not a to-do list, not a honey-do list, but honey, this is what you mean to me, and write it. Don't go down to a Party City and buy a card. I'm talking about writing something. Well, how long does it need to be? Well, I know most of you pretty well. You're pretty long-winded. Yeah. You know? You can, and it doesn't have to be fancy pants words. It just has to be out of your heart. Write something for your kids, your parents, your friends. And I'm not talking about these Christmas cards. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against all of this stuff, but I think I'm trying to get us to focus in another direction. You get the Christmas card. Here it comes. Happy holidays. Hope you have a happy holiday. Marge and Joe. Who's Marge and Joe? I don't know who that is, you know. Oh, well, just hanging on the wall with the rest of them. But if Marge and Joe sent me a handwritten letter, hey, Marge and Pat, we sure enjoyed being with you guys when we met you at someone's house. Boy, you guys were just such an encouragement to me. I really enjoyed spending time with you. Have a blessed Christmas. I remember that one. Probably put that one in the drawer. I got a drawer full of that stuff, by the way. The stuff that I keep. A lot of stuff you guys give me at the church. All the stuff that tells me how wonderful I am. Because when I'm not feeling wonderful, I go read some of them to remind myself how wonderful I am. But it just means something. That's the best holiday gift you could give somebody, something that cost you something. Say, well, my penmanship's bad. You want to talk about bad penmanship, you should see mine. A right-handed guy writing left-handed. You know, it's really bad. But that's why God created the computer. And if you don't have a computer by now, I don't know what to do for you. But, you know, just scribble it out and get one of your grandkids or somebody. They'll figure it out. They'll do it for you. You see the difference? You get a flavor for how different it can be? Doesn't that sound like a lot better than what you had in mind for this Christmas? Give gifts to those that need it. Somebody that really make a difference in their life. And give them something that make a difference. Don't go to the store and say, and just be looking down the aisle. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, they'll love this one. Yeah, I bet you this one's got a 10-minute retention memory on it, you know. They'll remember it for 10 years. That's not shopping for someone. It's thinking about someone and who they are and what would make their life better and doing that for them. give worship to the King this Christmas. Here's a novel idea. Why not break out the Bible and read the Christmas story? You say, well, I don't know where it is. You come see me after church because I'm going to blister you in it. I'm going to show you where it is, all right? But not knowing where it is. And just read it. And let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God do some wonderful things. Make this Christmas the best Christmas you ever had by focusing on the Lord. You want to do that for a change? Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Doesn't it just give you peace just inside, just even thinking about that? One of the things that I have as a minister, I have authority and I have power. I've received power and authority from God. You know, in the state of Louisiana, gives me some power. In fact, last night, I gave Jim and Priscilla a marriage license. I didn't get it from the state of Louisiana, although it has a state of Louisiana seal on it. I actually did it myself through Photoshop. I just did it, made it. It looks very good. I mean, it looks very, I mean, you wouldn't know that it wasn't a really good marriage license. Certificate. But I mean, it really looks good. But it does say remarriage in there, and I don't think they make one of those, okay? So, but you can do stuff. And I have the power to give you that stuff. Last night I said, by the power invested in me, by God Himself, I proclaim you husband and wife again. I have the power to do something. I'm going to give it to you right now. I give you the gift of a holy Christmas. I give it to you. It's yours. You can throw it in a pile or you can take it out and use it. It's yours to make the decision. As they say, it's your choice. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I preach myself happy.
I'm going to testify. Last week, I know you prayed for me.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get that microphone. Yeah.
I've been dealing with a lump in my throat right here and a lump right here in my back.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, but after you prayed and I went home, it is completely gone.
Oh, hallelujah.
Gone. And wow. I've been dealing with that for at least 6 months.
Wow.
You know, this one came
praise
right here.
God.
And now it's completely gone. I've been dealing with this for about 4 weeks.
Wow.
And it was a lump in my neck. And yeah. I've been praying, you know, I've been trusting God. But he prayed for my family because lately, you know, my son and his kids and my other son and my daughter, I mean, they've been going through all kind of stuff, and myself, you know. And I know a lot of people have been going through things, too. I mean, it just seems like, oh, man, everybody I talked to was going through things. Well, and I just totally forgot. But he prayed for my family. And when I went home, this was gone, and this was
praise
gone.
Praise God.
I just
hallelujah.
Wanted to, you know.
Ooh, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I know you said this a while ago.
Yeah.
You know,
see, I don't know about that. See, yeah. That's just a God thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Hallelujah. All right. Wow, that's a nice way to end the service. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, thank you for this wonderful testimony from Evans, Lord, and we rejoice with him that he was touched by the Master's hand. God, touch each one of us. Let this message from you, Lord, pierce our very souls. Let us be filled with your joy this Christmas season. Father, help us to focus on you wherever we go and whatever we do, that we'll see you, Lord, in the midst of the world and the business communities. Rendition of Christmas, let us see the Christ child and let us worship you. This is our prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.